Thank you, and I welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study. Will you turn in your Bible again with me today to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Thank you for watching, and I hope it's a blessing to you today. And as I usually do, I recommend that you get a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen and write down the scripture references and study them for yourselves. If you have a Bible, open it and follow with us as we look at the verses in the scripture. Now, for some time, I've been talking to you about those who go to be with the Lord, people that have lost loved ones, and the Bible says that there's something that is to be done to comfort them. And so I want you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and let's talk about that. Let's talk about comforting someone that has lost a loved one, a saved loved one. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Notice why this is true. Verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that they which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Please notice that three times he uses the term sleep where death is concerned. Verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Now, there's a lot of things in that context that is very comforting. If your loved one that died is saved, then that saved person went to where the Lord is. Turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians, and notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, notice the context of the chapter, verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle," and by comparison, and I won't ask you to turn there, but in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter is telling about that the Lord has instructed him that he must put off his tabernacle, and he's talking about a human body. So the human body is referred to as a temple or house or a tabernacle. Now, the verse again, "We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this," that is in this human body, "we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." In other words, if you leave your physical human body, then there is a body created by God that awaits you in heaven if you're saved. And when I say if you're saved, unless there's someone that's watching today and you haven't seen the program before, salvation has to do with believing the gospel. Salvation has to do with trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Salvation is by grace, through faith, not of works. So if you are working to gain what we're reading about, you'll never get it. It's either grace or else. You can't have grace and work for the same thing. Now, you can have salvation by grace and work as a result of the salvation, but you can't work for your salvation. If you work for your salvation, that implies that you do not believe in Christ. That is, you do not believe in the work of Christ in dying for your sins on Calvary. If you really, totally committed your salvation unto Him, why would you try to gain salvation by your works. So if you're working to get salvation, that indicates that you are not trusting the Lord. Now, those that are saved, those that trust Christ, those that believe on Him, believe that He died for their sins, relaxed in that state. If they die, they go to sleep. And in doing so, they go to where the Lord is, and a body awaits them there. Now, notice in the rest of the passages how He refers to this. In verse 5, "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given to us the earnest of the Spirit." In other words, we trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and then we received the sealing of the Holy Spirit, as in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, and as in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. So we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, "Therefore we're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord." Now we're confident about something. We that are saved by the grace of God, we that have relaxed in the work of Jesus Christ in dying for us at Calvary, we are relaxed and confident. We're not afraid. We're not living in dread of what will happen if we die. We're not always trying to confess our sins in view of the fact that we may die the next minute. We know that our sins are already forgiven. We know that they're paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. We know that we're redeemed and that our sins are blotted out. For that's what the Scripture tells us. Now, verse 6 again, "Therefore we're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord." Bet you I'm talking to somebody right now, and that's not true of you. I bet I'm talking to somebody that you call yourself a Christian. You've joined the church. You've repented of your sins. You've confessed and on and on and on and been baptized and all the things that people do to gain what is free in Christ. And I bet you're not confident that if you'd be absent of the body, you'd be present of the Lord. You don't know whether you will or not. And you're a little bit nervous about that. You don't like to talk about it. And you believe, though, that if you had time to confess your sins and get forgiveness for your sin, then there's a possibility that you might be present with the Lord. But the Bible said, we're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. In other words, we that are saved by grace through faith, we that are saved without lifting a finger, we that are saved without one bit of works, we're confident and willing to be absent from our body. We know that if we were to be absent from our body, we'd go to where the Lord is and be present with Him. Concerning the works, hold on to the passage there and turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Look at verse 4. Romans 4, verse 4 says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not," he doesn't do any kind of religious, righteous works to gain his salvation. "To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." He doesn't work. He doesn't move. He doesn't do anything to get salvation. He doesn't walk the aisle to get salvation. He doesn't go forward at the sound of the piano playing and the people singing "Just As I Am" without one plea. He doesn't come down to the front and quote a prayer that some evangelist lead. He doesn't do any kind of work to gain salvation. to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Not his works, his faith is counted for righteousness. Look at the next verse. Verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. In other words, then, the man that has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, totally and confidently believing that Christ died for all his sins, that individual's sins are blotted out, he's forgiven, everything is straight, and he has no fear of dying. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8, we're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present of the Lord, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad, so forth and so on. In other words, we that are saved by the grace of God will go to a judgment, but we won't be judged to see whether God condemns us or whether we go into the kingdom. No, that's not the idea. We that are saved by grace through faith work to receive a reward. We go to the judgment seat of Christ that we might be rewarded for the work done as a saved, Bible-believing saint. Now, so what happens then? Well, we that are saved just go to sleep. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he said that, I'm writing unto you to tell you that you should not sorrow even as others which have no hope, for they that sleep in Christ will God bring with him. Now look in Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, verse 59, Acts 7, 59 says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, there isn't any doubt about it then. Death is just simply referred to as sleep in the Bible. Now, what about people that are saved? Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:32, the righteous has hope in death. In other words, if a man die, will he live again? Job said. Well, certainly he will. If you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, just as sure as Jesus Christ took your sins upon himself on Calvary and died for your sins, saying that this represents the place of Christ's death here, alright, Jesus Christ became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And Jesus Christ died for our sins on Calvary. So therefore, if you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you already died in that you're accounted dead through what he did. Judicially, you died. So if Jesus Christ then died for your sin that came from Adam and died for your sins that you committed and went into a tomb and after 3 days and three nights arose from the dead, then you can be assured that if you die believing in him, you too will rise from the dead. You can have the assurance that if you part from your human body, that you will go up to be with the Lord, and you can be confident about it in trusting Jesus Christ. If you're not confident about it, if you're afraid about it, then you've got a problem. If you're not confident, and if you are afraid, why is that true? when the Bible says that we are confident and willing to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord? Then why is that not true of you? You say you believe the Bible. Why, somebody asks you, do you believe the Bible? Yes, I believe the Bible. Well, then why are you not confident and willing to be absent from your body? Why do you get all out of shape and scared and frightened and nervous and frustrated about the possibility of dying? Paul said, well, let's turn and read. Go to Philippians. In Philippians chapter 1, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Dying, he said, is better than living. Verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I choose I want not, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Well, isn't any doubt about it? If Paul died, what would happen to him? Well, he'd go up to be with Christ. And he said it's far better. Well, why remain here? Because of the ministry that he carried on in the name of the Lord. So the Bible says the righteous has hope in death. The Bible said, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors. In Psalm 116, verse 15, the Bible said, precious in the sight of God is the death of his saints. That's something, you know that? In other words, there's an individual here that looked back to Calvary, saw that Jesus Christ died for his sins back there, and seeing that, he believed on Jesus Christ, trusted him as his Lord and Savior. And precious in the sight of God is that man's death. Why? If he becomes absent from the body, he'll be present from the Lord. And the Lord loved this man right here enough that he sacrificed his sinless son on Calvary to die for that man's sins in order that that man could be absent from his body and be present with God. So, well, why didn't he take him out already? Because he left him here to serve the Lord and tell other people, warn other people, and make people see the fellowship of something that we're talking about, which is referred to as a mystery. How about you? Are you afraid? Why be afraid? Jesus Christ died for your sins. You say you believe that. Jesus Christ paid for your sins. You say you believe that. He was made to be sin for you. You say you believe that. Well, he died in that condition. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God turned his back upon him on Calvary because of your sins. So Jesus died. Jesus went into the tomb, and 3 days and three nights later, God raised him from the dead. If God raised him from the dead after he had died for your sins, what have you got to fear? Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 and 22, that all things are yours, whether life or death. All things are yours. Death is for your benefit. Now, what about all this? Well, number one, death is a merciful sleep to those in pain. Death is a merciful sleep to those in pain. Think about it. In fact, death is referred to, I believe it's 8 times in the New Testament as sleep. So when a person dies that are saved, what happens to them? They go to sleep. They don't experience the horrors of death. They fall asleep if they're saved. So they have no reason to be afraid. Death is a merciful sleep to those in pain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed." In other words, we're not all going to die. Some of us maybe will be alive at the second coming, the rapture, and we'll be taken out. Our vile bodies change, made like a glorious body, and we go up to be with Him. But the point is, if your loved one died, they were saved by the grace of God, then they went to sleep. Now I want you to think about something. People are in hospitals. Saved Bible-believing person is in the hospital. That saved Bible-believing person is in terrible pain. They're just crying out in pain. And you call for the doctor. The doctor comes in, tells the nurse, "Give this individual such and such a shot, a drug for their pain." So the nurse comes in with a needle and gives your loved one a shot, a drug of some sort, that causes them to go to sleep. So you see them just go to sleep, and they quit moaning. They quit groaning. The drug made them sleep. Now, once they're asleep, you don't start crying. You don't start shaking that person and say, "Wake up, wake up." The person, you call for some drug so that they could be eased from their pain. And so the doctor gave them the drug that caused them to just fall asleep. And for a period of time, they rest peacefully from their pain and suffering. Well, then, why is it that when a child of God passes from this life into the next, goes to sleep in Christ, why do we carry on so? It must be because we didn't believe that they experienced what the Bible says. Why could there not be rejoicing at a loved one's departure when that loved one was in pain and misery? I'm not talking about some healthy individual going down the highway and bang, and they have an automobile accident and go. I'm talking about an individual who is in pain and hurting and aching, and then all of a sudden God eases their pain. God just removes them from this world, and they just go to sleep, and they rest from their labors. They rest from their pain. They have comfort where they'd had pain. Well, we ought to thank the Lord for that, hadn't we? So then, death is a merciful sleep to those in pain. Number two, death is a peaceful sleep from their labors. My daddy was 84 years old when he died. He was saved. He believed on Christ. He trusted Christ as the Lord and Savior. And so my daddy had worked hard all his life. He was a farmer. He had worked and toiled and On that farm, there wasn't any place to stop. You know that? If we were plowing in the field and it rained so that we couldn't work there, then we might saw wood for use in the fireplace in the wintertime. Or we might go into a corn crib and shuck and shell corn during that period of time. But there was always something to do. There was no sitting around idly daydreaming and whatever. We worked on the farm. And so one day, my daddy in the hospital, he'd been bedridden for 1 year. And I was standing by his bedside and I watched him. He was breathing. They had an oxygen tent over him. And my daddy began to slow down his breathing, and his breathing got a little bit slower and then a little bit. And I had heard my daddy time and again ask the Lord to take him out of this world and give him ease. And so my daddy just slowed down his breathing, and it got a little slower and a little slower and a little slower. And finally, he just quit. He just didn't breathe anymore. And I thanked the Lord for giving him peace. I thanked God for letting him rest. And so my daddy is at rest from his labors right now. He just left that human body laying there on that bed and went up. And it was almost like as if there was an imaginary wall there that you can't see with the human eye. On the one side of that wall is pain and misery. On the other side of that wall is peace and contentment. And my daddy, as it were, just went through that wall into a place of peace and contentment. No more labor, no more pain, no more sorrow. And believe me, I had no reason to mourn about it. I miss my daddy, but I thank God that he's with the Lord. And you can be too if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You that have lost loved ones that are saved, they too have gone to sleep and they've gone to be with the Lord. Our time is up for today. We're going to continue with this in our next broadcast. Until then, good day.